Well, good morning to you at Harefield. I don't know if Barry has already introduced me, but for those of you that don't know me, my name's Alex Ison. My wife Helen spoke to you by video, I guess, about a month ago. And as she may or may not have said at the time, she and I were members at Harefield back in the early 1990s when we were at All Nations. So it's great to be with you this morning and look forward to just sharing something of God's message with you this morning. Now, I'm sure you're familiar that a few weeks ago we celebrated Easter, that day when Jesus rose from the dead. And today I just wanted to consider an event that took place on that first Easter afternoon. And I'd like to just read a passage of scripture to you. It's from Luke chapter 24. I'll just pick up my Bible. Luke chapter 24 and from verse 13 onwards, 13 to 36. And it's a passage that I guess many of you will be familiar with, and it's entitled On the Road to Emmaus. So just to remind you, this was that first Easter afternoon, and Luke writes this. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels and who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them about what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. That's quite a long passage, and I'd just like to share a few thoughts with you. But before I do that, just if I was with you in person, I'd ask a question, and perhaps for a show of hands, who likes walking? Well, some of us like walking, some of us perhaps are not so keen. But Helen and I, certainly before pandemic times, have a couple of friends who we walk with about once a month. We meet up normally on a Saturday morning and go for a walk. Normally 4, 5, 6 miles, perhaps in the summer, a little bit further. And invariably we end up at a pub for lunch. And what do you do as you walk along? You look at things, you chat, you pass the time of day, and eventually you reach a destination. And that's what these two individuals were doing. They were walking from Jerusalem, presumably back to their home in Emmaus. It's a very human story. And I just want to look over the next few minutes at the interactions between these two individuals and Jesus as they walked towards Emmaus. What can we learn about them? What do we learn about Jesus? And perhaps most importantly, what do we learn about ourselves? And the first thing I want to think about of is the road. I'm using that as my sort of first title, the road. We read that on that day, the two of them were walking to Emmaus. They were talking to each other about what had happened in Jerusalem. They were discussing. And then Jesus came up to them, but they didn't recognize him. I think one thing that's important about this story is those two disciples didn't have to go searching for Jesus. He came to them. He wanted to engage with them. There's a principle there, isn't there? God, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, actually is with us. He's here with us, even if sometimes, often perhaps, we don't recognize him. In John's Gospel, there's that passage in John chapter 1 that sometimes we read around Christmas time that says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How true is that? Sometimes the world can be a lonely place. Sometimes the world can be a confusing place. Perhaps we fail to see God, or how relevant God can be to our world. Perhaps we don't understand that God has an impact on the world around us. But actually, just because we don't recognize that doesn't change the reality that God, through the Holy Spirit, is here. He's with us. He's alongside us. For those two individuals in that story, as they took their walk from Jerusalem, their world had fallen apart. There are a few verses that give a glimpse into how they might have been feeling. Verse 18 says, their faces were downcast. Verse 21 says, we'd hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. But their hope had been shattered when Jesus was crucified. They were downcast, they were upset, they were unhappy. And it was into that anguish, into that moment of disappointment, that Jesus drew alongside where they were. And he engaged with them in their discussion. And sort of ironically, really, each step they took them further away from Jerusalem. Why do I say that? Because actually, Jerusalem, where they'd just left, where they were heading away from, was the place where the action was still taking place. And they knew that. They'd heard about it. They told Jesus that their friends had heard visions, they'd seen visions of angels. But nevertheless, they'd turned their backs. They were heading away in the wrong direction, away from where things were taking place. And despite moving away from Jerusalem, despite going in the wrong direction, Jesus joins them and walks alongside. They didn't recognize him. And perhaps the fact that they didn't recognize him allowed them to be free with their words, to make those responses they made. They shared their disappointments. They shared their doubts with an open heart. And I think there are some parallels, or there can be some parallels with our own lives from that story. Perhaps we've gone in the wrong direction. Perhaps we've taken a wrong road in life somewhere. Perhaps we're a little confused as to where we are. We don't really know what to do. Sometimes it's all too easy, isn't it, to retreat back home, to shut the door, to shut ourselves in. And yet in this passage we see Jesus. He goes with them to where they are. He walks alongside them. He listens to their concerns, and then He brings wisdom into their situation. So that's the walk along the road. The second thing I want to look at is the response. What does Jesus actually say to them? For those of you familiar with the Bible, you might know another story, also written by Luke, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, that talks about Philip and the Ethiopian. And if you know that story, you'll know that the Ethiopian was traveling along in his chariot. He was reading scripture. And we read in Acts chapter 8 that he was confused. And then an angel of the Lord sends Philip, who runs alongside the chariot and eventually gets up into the chariot and explains the scriptures to that Ethiopian man. And it's almost as though Philip, in that story, is mirroring what Jesus is doing here on the road to Emmaus. And if you want some homework, you can go away and read those two stories in parallel and just look at the similarities, right down to the key character disappearing at the end. In our story today, the disciples had outlined what had happened. They explained their confusion. And Jesus listened. How good are we at listening to other people? How good are we at letting other people set the agenda? It's very easy, isn't it, to know what's right for somebody else. But actually, sometimes we need to listen and respond with wisdom. Because it was only once they'd explained their concerns, their dilemma, that Jesus responded. And his response is interesting, perhaps a little harsh. Let me read verse 25 to you again. It says this: Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then it says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. He explains, he explores. The whole of scripture points to Jesus. All those thousands of years of history in the Old Testament point towards Jesus, who would suffer and then enter glory. But I don't think we can escape that verse or that word in verse 25. How foolish. How foolish. And I just think of those two characters for a moment. At the end of the story, they ran back to Jerusalem. They reported to their friends what had happened. And I just imagine them saying to their friends, "We met Jesus and he told us we were a couple of fools. He said we were foolish." Why was it? Because the evidence was there. The message was there. And they had failed to respond. They'd failed to understand. How sad is it when God gives us something? A scripture, an answer to prayer, a solution to a difficult situation, and we fail to see it. How easy is it for us to be foolish or to be slow of heart, as he accused them of being? And sometimes we need to hear things as they are. We need to face that reality that actually perhaps we're not quite as wise as we might like to think we are. Sometimes we need that jolt to move us on, to make us see and respond to the obvious, to pick ourselves up, to carry on with the next chapter of our lives. That can be painful, but a necessary experience. It can be part of us growing up and moving on with God. Jesus responds to their situation. But he also waits, doesn't he, to be invited in. They get to where they were going to, and it's as though Jesus, it says in verse 28, Jesus continued as though he were going further, but they urged him, "Stay with us, for it's almost evening." He doesn't push himself on them. He didn't intrude into their lives if he wasn't wanted. He waited to be invited. And I think that's true for us as well. So often, Jesus walks alongside. But we also need to offer that word of response. We need to take the invitation. Jesus stands at the door and knock, it says in one place in Scripture, but we need to open that door and invite him in. Not just initially when we become Christians at the beginning of our walk with Jesus, but on a day-by-day basis, invite him into our lives and areas of our life. So thirdly and finally, I just want to share another word with you, and it's the word reveal. I'm sure many of you have watched those TV programs where they come to the end of the program and they reveal. Perhaps it's one of these makeover programs, a home or a garden, and they bring the occupants of the house to the door and then they reveal what's been done, you know, the big build, something like that. Or perhaps it's one of the competition programs, Bake Off or something, and you get to the end of the program and there's a great pause, isn't there, before they tell you who's going through to the next round or who's not. The revealer. And we've got that in this story. Here is Jesus sitting at the meal table. He gives thanks and we read, their eyes were opened. And then they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Suddenly, recognition. Suddenly, they see Jesus for who he is. Their world changes in an instant. That downcast attitude they'd had at the beginning has gone. I think one of the interesting things about this story is that they weren't worried that Jesus had just disappeared. Their reaction, verse 29 says that the day was almost over. It was getting dark, presumably. Yet their reaction is to run that 7 miles back to Jerusalem, presumably in the fading light, no street lights. They ran back to where they'd come from. In our church over the lockdown period since Christmas, we've been doing an Alpha course online with some people and just looking at the basics of Christianity. And it often strikes me that faith is so much easier once your eyes have been opened, once that step has been taken. Suddenly the pieces of the jigsaw fall into place. And we're all on a journey of faith, aren't we? And if we're honest, it's not a straight road for any of us. There are twists, there are turns, there are uphill struggles, there are the good times, there are the bad times. And just in closing, in the minute or two that I've got left, I just want to ask you, where are you today, this week, on your journey with Jesus? Are you going in the wrong direction, moving away from the action? Perhaps not quite sure or why, confused, discouraged, disappointed. The world doesn't seem quite as safe and welcoming as it used to be. We're confused by scriptures that need explanation. Perhaps you're there at the table, enjoying the company. Perhaps you're eager to serve, to return, to run back and tell your friends about what you've experienced. But I guess for most of us, actually, if we look at our lives, we recognise something of all of those situations. Good days, bad days. And the passage that I read just now, the NIV translation that I read from, puts a block of white space and a heading between verses 35 and 36. But I think verse 36 is important. I didn't read it, but I'll read it now. Verse 36 says this. After they'd got back to Jerusalem, those two disciples, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Whatever your place, whatever your place on that journey with Jesus, that's my prayer really, that you might know the peace of Jesus. Jesus wants to be near. He wants you to experience his peace. And may that be your blessing from him this morning. Thanks for listening. My time's gone. I guess I'm handing you back now to Barry or to somebody else. But it's been great to speak to you. this morning, and hopefully, for too long, we might see you in person. Thank you. Goodbye.